Please turn with me to the books of Genesis, Matthew, and Hebrews. I shall be reading Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40, and Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of the Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. This is the word of God.
Good morning. A very happy Lunar New Year to all of you. It's great to see that many of you have made a choice to pay God a visit before embarking on your busy schedule ahead of visiting relatives and friends. It is my privilege and honor to bring you God's word this morning. My name is Wen Chong, and I'm one of the pastors here in AMKPC, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. I hope that you will not leave God's house today without encountering God, our host personally. Before I begin, allow me to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing each one of us into your home, into your family, into life eternal with you. Lovingly open our hearts so that we can make room for your word in our lives. Lord, we pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word also. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Reverend Srimal exhorted us from the book of James on being doers of God's word and not just hearers of his word. Have you been able to apply God's word in your life this week? Did you put into action something you might have read or heard from God? If not, today will be a good day to apply God's word in your life. In 2001, a BB boy, being very blur, forgot to bring his consent form during his parade on Saturday. And as punishment, his officer made him bring the form to him the next day, on a Sunday, which is church. For the very first time, this boy stepped into church in his slippers, shorts, and t-shirt, which is his favorite attire. He walked to his officer, wanting to pass the form, but instead, the officer introduced him to everybody in the room. He was invited to stay for their youth fellowship, where he sang songs and played games and even had lunch with a bunch of strangers that he had met for the very first time. A few months later, that same officer led this boy to Jesus Christ, and he became a Christian. That same year, in 2001, that boy took that step of faith and decided to get baptized. Coming from a non-Christian family, this boy had been coming to church for close to a year, but had not broken the news to his family that he was Christian. So naturally, on his baptism date, which was Christmas, he did not even own a pair of formal clothings. With much love and hospitality, another officer of his clothed him in a white long sleeve shirt, long pants, and even a pair of leather shoes, which were around two sizes too big for him. It was not so much the biblical story that attracted this boy to come back to church the following week, but it was the warmth and genuine interest that these people extended to him that thoroughly converted the boy to become a Christian. It was in that hospitality that the boy experienced the love of Jesus Christ. Having experienced true Christian hospitality, this boy, me, would like to now share with us from God's word on how we can practice hospitality to others, especially in this festive season. And hopefully also practically in our lives, so that others may experience Christ the way I did. For today's sermon, I have selected three passages for us to learn about what biblical hospitality is. The first text is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, and this is like the umbrella verse for the next two verses in Genesis and Matthew. From Genesis 18, we hope to learn from our faith father, Abraham, and understanding the role of how he practiced hospitality and how we can understand what it means to be a host, what it means to be a guest, and I hope that we can draw some principles that we can learn about hospitality. From the gospel writer Matthew, Jesus uses a parable to help us best understand who are those that require our hospitality. Jesus here also boldly redefines who we are ultimately hosting when we actually extend our love and care to the least among us. So let us begin. What is biblical hospitality? The word hospitality derived from the Latin noun hospitum, which as an adjective, we derive our modern terms such as hospital, hostel, hospice, or even hotel. These places all have one thing in common. For those who are visiting, they are not at home. And these hospitums will tend to their needs while they are being away. Sometimes these hospitums prove to be so important because it is important even for the guests to survive. And this is especially true in a nomadic life where Abraham is situated, where lodging and food was scarce. But the root word here actually is hospice, which means guest, host, and more importantly for today, that same word for stranger. The word hospitality used in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, is composed of two parts in its Greek, love and stranger, which literally, when you put together, means love of strangers. While the word hospitality can include acts of welcoming family and friends, especially in this season where we open our homes for this Lunar New Year, Christian hospitality focuses on receiving the stranger and sharing of one's resource to them. Hospitality in the confines of those whom we know is no doubt hospitality, but the distinctiveness of Christian hospitality is when love is extended to the stranger. Someone whom we have met, someone we have not met, or perhaps even someone who we have met but are not very familiar with. Chapter Hebrews 13 verse 2 says, do not neglect showing hospitality, love for strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Now that we have a better understanding of what Christian hospitality means, we will proceed to Abraham's example of hospitality and learn how we can also practice hospitality. So, how can we practice hospitality? I think our forefather Abraham has left us with a very good role model on how we are to do so. There are so many lessons that we can glean from his example, but here are four that I would like to share with you this morning. If you would like, you can keep your Bibles open to Genesis 18, verses 1 to 8, as I will be referring to this passage throughout my second point on how we can practice hospitality. Point number one. Verse 2 tells us that Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground, which reflected Abraham's attentiveness to hospitality. The guests did not come knocking on his door. It took Abraham to spot the strangers from a distance, almost as if he were looking out for them. So, principle number one, attentive to the needs of others. In verses 3 to 5, Abraham lowered himself by referring to himself as a servant. And if you recall back in chapter 13, Abraham acquired great wealth from Egypt. In fact, we are told that he is very rich in livestock, silver, and gold, which all the more displays Abraham's humility in open hospitality to strangers. You can almost hear the politeness and humility from the words exchanged with the strangers. Words like, if I have found favor in your eyes, do not pass your servant. Let a little water be brought, a morsel of bread, that you may be on your way. Abraham was not boastful about his promises. His humility was one that was reflected in his offer to the stranger. So principle number two is humility in serving his guest. But when it actually came to pass, did Abraham just brought a little water or a morsel of bread? No. We are told that he instructed Sarah to bake a cake with the finest flour. He then called his servant to prepare a tender calf and personally presented the meat with curds and milk. And we are even told that Abraham stood by while the guests ate. In the ancient Eastern world, this would have been an extravagant meal. Meat was not common on the dinner table. Maybe only during weddings or important ceremonies do people in the Old Testament eat meat. My mom often repeats this story to me of her younger days where her family of 10 people would all share in one chicken. Once a year only, the whole family gets to eat a chicken during the Lunar New Year. Her point of the story was to tell me that she never gets the drumstick because she's not the eldest daughter. But my point of the story is that if meat were rare in the 1960s in Singapore, what more in the time of Abraham? This was reflected in Abraham's generous hospitality. Cake, milk, meat. What an extravagant meal. Principle number 3, generosity to share our resources with others. One final principle we can learn from Abraham's hospitality is his urgency in seeing to the things that needs to be done. Notice in verse 2, he ran. And then again in verse 6, Abraham went quickly to Sarah and even told her to be quick. He then ran again to the herd. There is this sense of urgency in Abraham's hospitality. To not keep his guests waiting, to see that the things he promised his guests be done. One final principle we can learn from Abraham, a sense of urgency in welcoming our guest. This is what our forefather Abraham leave for us. A legacy of hospitality by being attentive to others around us, by humbling ourselves as servants, ready ourselves to serve anyone who passes us by generously lavishing our personal possessions on our guest, and urgently ensure that our guest receives a warm welcome. Apart from Abraham's wonderful role model of being a good host, I think the strangers that visited him can also offer us insights on how we can be good guests as well. If you look at the text, notice that the guests did not impose themselves on Abraham by ordering their favorite dish or going to their host and asking for your Wi-Fi password. The guests simply adhered and followed the lead of the host. They waited patiently for the cake to be baked, the calf to be prepared, and the milk for it to be served. In fact, in the nomadic life, as the hosts play their part to provide food and lodging, guests often provided stories about and news about the outside world. Guests brought the gift of stories to the host. In this narrative, the guests not only brought stories to Abraham, they brought good news to him and Sarah. For all the trouble that Abraham underwent to see that the guests be welcome, the guests provided Abraham the good news of having a child in a year's time. I think this is a good point to pause and reflect on the role of a host and a role of a guest, which many of us will soon play. Some of us, especially the parents, you will be hosting family members, friends, colleagues, or even church members. And for many of us who are not hosting, we will soon have the opportunity to be a guest. Is there something here from this list that you can choose to apply in your life this festive season? Or in your life, for that matter? For host, perhaps the Lord might be calling us to humble ourselves to serve our guest. Will you be willing to be a good host? For those of you who will be guests in someone else's home, are you willing to be a good guest and follow the lead of your host? Wait patiently as the host prepares his or her home for you. Or even better, will you be the one to provide your host with stories of your life? And best of all, will you be the one to share the good news with them? Will you be willing to look out for opportunities to share the great news of the gospel with your host? If possible, can I encourage us to avoid hiding behind our screen during the home visitations this Lunar New Year? Be present with the host. Youth and young adults, or adults alike, can I encourage you to refrain from being eye-glued to your phone? Look up. Opportunities of blessing your host or your guests may arise. Opportunities to be doers of God's word and not just hearers of it. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Next point, to whom then do we practice our hospitality? We now turn our attention to Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. Verses 35 to 40 for Matthew is actually a segment from Jesus' speech about those who will enter his kingdom. In this final judgment, Jesus is declaring to those who he approves of and those he rejects. Those he approves, he calls sheep, and he puts them on his left. And those he rejects, he puts to his right, and he calls them goats. To the sheep, he praises them for their work on earth. What did they do? They fed the hungry. They gave drink to the thirsty. Visited those who were sick. Went to those imprisoned. Welcomed the stranger. And clothed the naked. In fact, Jesus did not just reward them for being charitable, but told them that the reason why they are in favor with him was because whatever that they did to the least of these, they did unto him. Jesus affirms the importance of loving the stranger, tending to their practical needs, remembering the less fortunate among us, sacrificing our time and possessions to bring comfort to those who are hurting. Jesus says that whatever we do to the least of these, we do unto him. So, who is it exactly that we are supposed to practice our hospitality? Those who are needy, and ultimately, Jesus himself. We host Jesus as our guest when we host the needy. Jesus, like the strangers who visited Abraham, doesn't impose himself on us, but gives us the wonderful privilege to host him. Jesus invites us to partner with him in showing the rest of the world that he cares. Our love for Jesus is not only to be heard from the songs that we sing or the Bible study materials that we manage to complete. Our love for Jesus has to be seen in our outward action for the stranger. Being attentive to their needs, humbling ourselves to serve the needy, being generous with our resources of time and possessions, and being urgent about serving them. Perhaps many of us would be willing to help if these people came to us, or if we know about their situation. But both the texts in Genesis and in Matthew clearly calls us to go to them instead of expecting them to come to us. Hospitality is not just only attending to the visiting strangers that come to you. It is also visiting strangers and going to them at where they are, which is the intended double meaning of the sermon title today, Visiting Strangers. Biblical hospitality is not just receiving the strangers that come to us, but also a call for us to go to them. Sometimes to show hospitality, we need not look very far. Perhaps the very person that is sitting next to you each given Sunday, a stranger whom you would like to extend your hospitality to by welcoming him or her into your life, your friends, your CG, and even your home if possible. Each year, AMKPC has quite a number of visitors that will come to our service. In fact, many of you were once strangers to us, but now have been welcomed by someone into our family, AMKPC family. And for those of you who are new to us, or perhaps you have been here a long time, but have not joined our AMKPC family, would you consider being a good guest and allow us to serve you as a host? Share your life story with us. We would love to hear what brought you here. Maybe more personally, perhaps for some of us, it's a needy classmate at school, a colleague who is struggling at work, a relative whom you know might be hurting. Would you be willing to extend your hospitality to them? If you are blessed with a home, could your home be a place of hospitality? Cook them a simple meal. Bless them with your time and presence. Rosaria Butterfield, a major, next slide. Rosaria Butterfield, a major proponent of Christian hospitality, who wrote many books on this subject, states, "Your home is not your castle. Your time is not your own. Every Christian home is an incubator and a hospital for the gospel of life." Is your home an incubator and hospital for the gospel of life? And for those of you who do not have the liberty of a home that you can offer to serve a simple meal to the stranger, there are so many people out there in the community that needs you. Perhaps what you could do is to offer them to go to a meal at a restaurant or a nearby eatery. Perhaps all we actually have to do is to pay attention, and you might be surprised at the needs that surfaces. Do to these guests and these strangers as though you would do to our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps as a CG, you might want to consider praying and considering who are some strangers that you would like to visit. There are some CGs that I know of who will make time and room for others. For instance, Joshua Jen, which is a young adult cell group in AMKPC, on their own accord, has decided to visit the PHS community twice during the examination period. As a CG, they would pack and give out welfare packs filled with stationery, snacks, and handwritten notes that include a Bible verse to encourage those students in their stressful period. What's more, this CG will also take time off their busy schedule to come down on a Thursday morning during the PHS Christian Fellowship and pray with the students personally to encourage them and to encourage them for the upcoming exam. It was a wonderful privilege to witness Joshua Jen's service to the students and how they visited the strangers of Presbyterian High School. Are there some strangers that you think you might want to visit as a cell group? Are there some people that the Lord is calling you to show hospitality to? In conclusion, I would like us to remember that we were all once strangers. Strangers to God and strangers to one another. If not for Jesus, our great host, who saw us from a distance, ran to us and invited us into his home, washed us with the waters of baptism, fed us with the spiritual food of bread and wine, and gave himself up so that we can partake in him, we will have no part in him. We might even have no part with one another. Each and every one of us seated here will have no reason to congregate and will likely be strangers to each other. Jesus, our great host, now calls upon his body and its members, all of us, to partner him in extending that warmth and hospitality, to love the stranger and bring the love of Christ to them. He calls us to be attentive to the needs of others, humble ourselves to serve others, be generous with our possessions, and to be urgent about visiting strangers. Not just the strangers that come to us, but also today's message calls us to go to them where they are. For whatever we do unto the least, we do unto Christ. In closing, allow me to read one last time, chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. And as we ponder and reflect upon what was said, and that we will not just be hearers of God's word, but doers. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for feeding us with your word. Thank you for filling us with your spirit. Thank you for being the great host who welcomed us as strangers into your kingdom. You have called us to be part of your body, to bring others in. You have called us to visit the strangers who are in need, who hunger, who thirst, who are ill. Forgive us, Lord, that many of us have forgotten to be hospitable. Open our hearts to receive your hospitality so that we can do the same to those around us. May we not just be hearers of your word on this day, but act upon what we have heard. May we love the stranger just as you love us. May we love the stranger as our love for you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite all of us to stand. And as we reflect, let us sing the chorus of We Are the Body as we consider what and how we can be the body of Christ to the strangers around us.
But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way.
Jesus paid much too high a price.
Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ.
One more time. Jesus paid much too high a price.
And Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. And Jesus is the way.
And may we learn to be hospitable. May we show the world that Jesus is the way. As we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Morning, church. Sing Nam Mong An.